The Jet Spotlight, Episode 33. Hey everybody, what's up? Yanni Luonga here and welcome to the 33rd episode of the Jet Spotlight podcast. And first of all, thank you so much for being with me today. I really appreciate you taking a moment of your time to listen into this new episode. I'm really happy that you're with me, especially because I know that you're going to get some value from today's episode. Today we're going to talk about reviews and what to pitch for a review. Maybe you remember from episode 23 where we had Tony Dudley Evans on the show who talked about how to get gigs, and it mentioned reviews at some point. He said that reviews are something that he, as a promoter, is still really paying attention to, and reviews are something that can really help bands stand out from the crowd, because today there are so many great artists, but when it comes to coverage, whether it's on newspapers, magazines, blogs, music websites, reviews are still very important. And this is what we're gonna hear about today. And I'm really happy to have the editor-in-chief of nextbop.com today here on the podcast, Anthony Dean Harris, who's gonna tell us more about, obviously, about Nextbop, the great things he and his colleague do on Nextbop. But he's also gonna tell us about how you as a musician should approach music writers, music journalists, whether it's they write for magazines or websites, because Anthony writes about jazz on Nextbop. He's the radio host of the show The Lineup. He's also involved in the Art of Cool project, which, by the way, succeeded in achieving the goal of their crowdfunding campaign. So a big shout out goes to Anthony and all the great people of the Art of Cool project and Art of Cool festival. And in addition to all of this, Anthony also writes review for Downbeat magazine. So I don't think that nobody else was more suited than Anthony to come here on the show and tell us how musicians should approach him and, you know, people that write about music, and also what are the things you should keep in mind when you're looking for websites or magazine to review your records. So from, you know, the kind of format you should have your music into, from the way to contact them. Like always, remember that you can find the links of all the resources Anthony and I talk about at thejetspotlight.com/episode33. Here is what to pitch for a review with Anthony Dean Harris. I'll talk to you after the interview. Hey, I'm here with another guest for the Jet Spotlight podcast. And you know, sometimes you come across people who really do it all. And the guest I have here today is one of those. He's editor-in-chief at Nextbop. He's involved with the Art of Cool project. And he's also the radio host of the Lineup radio show on KRTU. And he's also contributes on a regular basis for Downbeat magazine. It's with great pleasure that I welcome on the show Anthony Dean Harris. Hey, Anthony, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing, Yannick?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for being with us, man. I really appreciate it.
Glad to do it.
All right. We have so much to talk about because you're doing so many great things and you are really wearing different hats. You are a blogger, you are a writer, you are a radio host. How do you do it? How can you fit all those things in your life?
You just sort of fall into it. You make a pattern of it and a rhythm of it, and it sort of ends up getting done over time.
All right. Let's start with Nextbop, where you are editor-in-chief. Can you tell the listeners a little bit more about Nextbop, the next generation of Jets, a great blog?
Well, Nextbop started as a blog that a couple of guys out of Canada, out of Montreal, Sebastien Elali and Justin Wee, they wanted to figure out, they wanted to make a blog or something, really, to sort of rebrand what jazz is, what the genre is. They kept seeing all these really great acts at the Montreal Jazz Festival, and they met a lot of different musicians there, and they wanted to figure out how to put these guys out there. So they ended up making the blog, but they didn't quite have an idea of how to run it or what to do with it. It looked good. It was very well designed, but it wasn't fully formed yet. So around the time they were doing that, I think I was just getting out of college, out of Morehouse College in Atlanta. I was coming back to San Antonio, where my hometown is, and I got involved with KRTU. I got involved with the jazz station here at KRTU at Trinity University. So I've been doing that show for a while, and I kept using the playlist for that show just for the first, I think I've been doing that show for very early on, maybe a few months or so. And I was using the playlist, and I was posting it on like a blog that I used back in college to keep all my old editorials that I put in the newspaper. And so Sebastian, he saw the blog, and he saw my playlist, and he thought he knew I could write, and knew that he liked the taste that I had, so he asked me if I could wanted to write something maybe once a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been writing for Seb for a little while, and I just kept doing it consistently, and then Seb realized that I was competent. So very shortly after that, I ended up as the editor of the site. So I ended up with the idea of the consistency that there needed to be something on it every day, so the audience had an expectation, so people would see that there's something always there and keep coming back to it. And I just sort of ended up doing that, and folks have been contributing with some consistency, some just one off, and now right, we got now about five writers on hand with some little consistency, adding and contributing to the site, and I'm still trying to put something on there every day just to make sure that there's always something there, at least on the weekdays. And ended up doing that for about the last 5 years.
Man, that's great. And you already kind of gave a preview of something we're going to talk about later, that is the lineup, a very interesting radio show. But before we go more into that, I want to ask you, what do you think are the challenges of running a blog like Next Pop?
The fact that there has to be something on the site every day.
Mm-hmm.
There's never a shortage of content, I will say that, especially since I've been doing this for a while, and because my email address ends up on the top of everything, I get a lot of mail, and the sorting through it and figuring out what it is that you want to be inspired by, or sometimes you just aren't inspired by anything that day, and you just had to put up something. The idea of going a little crazy and burnout is always there. But sometimes you run through a stretch where, like, you'll run to an album and you just have to tell someone about it. I'm right now in the moment where I'm about to go into some festival coverage, not for Next Pop, but for the All Weekly here, the San Antonio Current. I'm about to cover the Austin City Limits Festival. So every now and again, I go through these, like, I'll do some posts where I'm doing, like, small posts every day on Next Pop for a while, but then there'll be, like, a larger review, because I really feel inspired to write a larger review. And sometimes festival coverage will come around.
Mm-hmm.
There are these times as a writer when I want to make a bigger thing, when I just, like, the itch just sort of gets to me, and, like, festivals I really enjoy because I always consider, I would say, it's my most self-indulgent writing. But those moments when I know that's just coming around the corner is sort of why I keep doing this. That and the fact that I know that I have an audience now. I know that there are people checking in every day, and I don't want to let anybody down doing it. So, yeah, it's the notion that there's always great work that I'm about to end up doing, and I know that it's been a while I end up doing it. That keeps it going, and not wanting to let anybody down, because I get really, really in my head about that.
That's great to hear that you're really committed to provide high quality content and value to your readership and to your audience. I think that's awesome. And speaking of being really active, you're also a contributor for Downbeat Magazine. So some of the listeners of the podcast might remember your name also from Downbeat Magazine. How has that been?
That's been pretty good. It's is that going on a year now? Yes. Maybe about for the last year, got an email. Somebody asked if I wanted to do reviews, and I've been contributing reviews for about 1 month. Not every month. I sort of didn't do any over the summer, but yeah, I've been yeah, been doing reviews for Downbeat Magazine for about the last year.
And speaking of reviews, I was reading an article that you wrote that was titled What to Pitch for a Review. And I think it was a very interesting article, and I will link to it in the show notes. But I would like to ask you for some tip for musicians. What do you think musicians should do when pitching for a review to a publication or website, blog?
Well, this is like the same idea that I had in that article is also, it's an idea that I keep for the site, and it's also is an idea that I keep in my day job. The day job I have is as an English tutor at a community college. And so that, all of these things between the students who are just trying to learn to write and musicians who are sending me things, and they're not, or they'll send it through a tweet, like they think this is an adequate piece of information or something like that, or they'll just tweeted me or something, or they'll friend me on Facebook and then ask me through a Facebook message, like, whoa, this is not, like, clearly you don't think this is an invasion of space or something. Nathan Ed of the New York Times, he has a policy about, like, not friending musicians on Facebook, and I thought, like, man, I think I sort of fell into this, and what I do is, it's, like, different from what Nate Chenin does, but I get it. Like I understand sometimes when that encroachment happens. So I knew the idea behind all of this is, how do you give a thing to another human being? That's the whole principle of it. I'm giving a thing to another person. How would I want them to get it? How, like, if someone were to give me something, what would I want it to look like? I'd want to have all the necessary information. It should have all of the parts. It should be easy to access. It should be have all of these things. It should get all the necessary information in order for me, the writer, the listener, to be able to give to present this information to another person. Like, because that's ultimately what the goal is. You want me to review something because you want me to write something, like, you're giving me the music because you want me to write something nice, you want other people to buy it, you want other people to be able to find the iTunes and Amazon link, and, like, people should be able to have all of that stuff. So I should have all of that stuff. I should be able to listen to what it is that, so that was the ultimate principle behind it. The first rule, though, is the listening is arbitrary. Because the listening is arbitrary, and I want everyone to at least be aware of that. And that's something I wanted people to know. I don't know how well that was conveyed in that piece. It was the first thing said, but still. First thing is the listening is arbitrary, because it is. I am a listener like any other listener. And sometimes things will grab me, and sometimes things won't. That's just the reality of the matter. It'll be how the weather is doing that day. It'll be if I ate, and whether or not I'm the combination of hungry and angry, otherwise known as hangry. So all of these things affect whether or not I'll be listening to something in the right mood. It's there. That's just the truth of it. But once you get past that, it is how can I, like, is this a SoundCloud stream, which means I will only be able to listen to this when I'm at a computer, which means I can't listen to this in an organic fashion. Did you send me the file in WAV files, which means your album is 800 megabytes, as if I have the room for everyone's 800 megabyte album. Or are you sending me a physical album, which I don't really need because I have a netbook that doesn't have an optical drive, and because I listen to all my music on my phone anyway, which means I don't really need your physical album. Also, I'm a thing that exists on the internet. I'm not a radio station. I'm at a radio station. But Nextpop is not a radio station. It needs the files. It doesn't need the physical album. I don't need your physical CD. So with that, all of these things is, if you're presenting something to a thing on the internet, you can treat it like a thing on the internet. That's another principle behind it. There's a lot of, like, other like little tips in there, but it's mostly, I always say I tweeted this yesterday, that I always say the line, remember your Marcus Aurelius for everything, what is its nature? Mm-hmm. I hadn't read Marcus Aurelius, that's Hannibal Lecter, that's Silence of the Lambs. But for everything, what is its nature? You're presenting your music to a thing on the internet in order for that thing on the internet to be able to present it to other people. to listen to and ultimately purchase it. That's what the ultimate goal is. So if you just send me a tweet, that's not going to do the job. But if you send an email, and also recognize that the email could take a while, or it could be, reach me at the right time, or maybe not, I don't know. Two or three, after you, if you send a fourth email, you haven't heard anything, that could be an intentional deafening silence. I'm just saying. But, send an email that gives me all your information. Who are you? What's your background? What's your background about? Maybe a little, who are your side men that are playing with you? Give me ability to listen to a couple of songs and also the ability to stream it on the site later because I had one artist who sent me an album that I kind of liked. Didn't really like it, but I only kind of liked it. But and he didn't have anything on SoundCloud, so I sent an email back and said, well, do you have it on SoundCloud? Like, no, but other publications written about it. Like, well, then I didn't email him back after that. Like, if you don't want your thing streaming on the internet, then you don't want your thing on this site.
Mm-hmm.
Everything on the site has something streaming on it. Why do you think you can't?
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing. Don't think you're so special. You're an artist. You're an artist in an email, and my phone is full of emails. Don't give me a reason to not write anything about you.
Love it. I totally agree with you. And, you know, it's something that we talked about on episode 30 with Andrew Reed. We talked about how sometimes artists have this assumption that, like you said, with the tweets, for example, I get the same situation on Twitter where people just send me random tweets people have maybe never heard of, send me, hey, listen to my music with a YouTube link or SoundCloud link. And I'm like, whoa. Would you like, it's an Andrew on episode 30, he talked about the, he made the example of a bar, and he said, you wouldn't go into a bar and start to shout to people, hey, listen to my music. First, you would maybe kind of enter in the radar, talk with them, make yourself acquaintance with them, and then you would, you know, promote your music. So I think that's something that many artists really don't think about. They just think that, you know, the more tweets I send, the better, but that's not how it works. And also, I really like when you mentioned, you know, all the issues with the physical copies, with the size of the files. I think that these are things that all of you who are listening, who are musicians and, you know, would like to be reviewed in magazines, websites, blogs, are something that you should really think about. You should put yourself in the reviewer's shoes and think what is it that he or she is looking for. And before just submitting random stuff, also do some research about the publication, about the website. See what is their style, what is their philosophy, what kind of artists they have been reviewed, for example, to see if you could fit like right in. I totally agree with you. And would you happen to have some, you know, you mentioned Twitter, you mentioned email, I also mentioned social media. Do you have a couple of promotion advice for musicians who are trying to promote themselves online? What do you think they should have?
Yes. SoundCloud and Bandcamp. I will say that. SoundCloud and Bandcamp. Very, very crucial. I need to be able to listen to the music. You probably want to be able to have a record of how many people have played it. You want to be able to easily sell it. And Bandcamp is really, really great at that. It's too easy to put your music out there online in a way that is clean, in a way for me, a blogger, to be able to take an embed code and put it into a post in order for me to make the reviews the way that I need to. It's a really, really great way to put your music out there on the internet. SoundCloud's about to go through some weird changes. I haven't read into those entirely yet, but they're going to do some things about ad revenue. And Bandcamp still seems holding steady right now. I mean, it's still, you know, you have to be able to learn how to navigate these things, but if you're not there, you're not doing me a favor. We'll say that. That's the thing. It goes back to, for everything, what is its nature? If you're treating a thing on the internet, treat a thing like it exists on the internet. Have a website that's easily, that I can read through easily enough in order for me to figure out your biography and your previous albums. Like, for everything, think of your audience as an extension of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Would I navigate this website? Do I know what my biographical information is if I were to read through this? Can I easily listen to this music? Because if I cannot, then certainly my audience can't. And I think that with artists, with PR, sometimes I think people are forgetting this. Think of the audience, think of the audience or think of the artist, think of the writer that I'm sending this to, the editor that I'm sending this to, the public that will end up reading this ultimately. I don't want people to forget, those who are presenting these things to forget that the audience is an extension of the self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. And also to comment on that, I think that it's something that a mistake that many artists, I think, are doing on the website is that they, when they design the website or they have someone doing that for them, they do it only with fans in mind. And this is something we talked about with Jerry Goldstein on episode 13, where she talked about booking gigs and planning a tour. And she talked about this, that many websites are missing the information that promoters need or festival organizers need. So I think that in a way it relates with what you said, that, you know, look at your website, look at your, read your bio, think, okay, if I was a fan or if I was a promoter or if I was a journalist, a blogger, would I understand it? Would I get the information I need from this? And same goes with all the content you have on your website, from the electronic press kit to the music you might have, links to social media, everything. Really, Anthony, I'm really happy that you're here on the podcast because you have provided a lot of value. I really appreciate you being here with me today.
Glad this is working out.
Yeah. And now I'd like to ask you about the lineup. You briefly mentioned it. So it's every Friday from 9 to 10 p.m. Tell us a little bit more about the lineup.
The lineup, been doing this for about 5 years. Actually, there was a moment on Monday. All the hosts at KRTU San Antonio, about twice a year, we have like a volunteer host happy hour. And so I had forgot entirely about it. I was getting off of work and I was on the bus home, and I looked at my phone and I had an alert come up. It was like, that's it coming up in about 3 hours. Like, I gotta turn all the way back. I gotta go home again. And then tend to the dog and turn back around, get back on another bus, and my phone's acting weird. It's a really weird day. And then I got to the happy hour. I've been here 5 years. They're about to give me a 15-year. So the lineup actually was someone else's show, and I've been thinking about this lately. I'm blanking on what her name was. It's weird. But it was someone else's show who was lining up into her boyfriend at the time. I remember what her boyfriend's name was. Galen. I remember Galen's name. The format of KRTU San Antonio is it plays jazz 17 hours a day from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. And then from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m., it plays sort of indie rock because it's still on the station, and otherwise most of these students wouldn't be trying to get in radio anyway. So, there's still some great students who love jazz, but the majority of them are not there for that jazz station. Friday at 9 p.m. is like the last, it could play more adventurous jazz music before it led into the indie rock. It lined up into it. So she left the station to move to the Northeast and then ultimately break up with Galen. And then, I don't know how that went, but, you know, he's doing well, he remarried and all that, so good for him. And good for her, hopefully, whatever she's doing. Anyway, she left, and, there was a moment, it was during the spring concert at KRTU when I met, Aaron Prado at the time, the music director. He's a pianist, and he, went to New York and studied under Vijay Iyer. And others got his doctorate in music, I believe, at UT Austin. Came back to Texas, got his doctorate in music at UT Austin. He's still gigging and things and doing well, raising a family, everything. At the time, he was the music director of KRTU, and Matt Flieger was the operations manager. So I met with them at the spring concert. Saw Ramsey Lewis that year, and he left to go to KMHD Portland. And to become the program director, I believe, is what he's doing there. So I met with them, and at the spring concert with Ramsey Lewis, so met them. They saw, they knew I was interested in jazz, and they said, "Oh, you should have a show. You should come by the office." So I came by the office, and that was June of 2009, and then I was first on the air in September of 2009. And so I've been playing new adventurous jazz music ever since. And so, yeah, and then I go back to the beginning of the story, how I've been playing all sorts of new stuff, because that's what the focus of the show is, and just been doing that ongoing. And I'm still pretty much the only person on the station who uses electronic music, or generally electronic music and beats for the music beds. Because I like the idea of one continuous hour of music at least going. And so I've been doing that, and that's always been that's what ended up getting the attention for me getting into Next Bop. And then so that's always been like an engine, I think, an ongoing engine of Next Bop. I think also that's part why I keep doing Next Bop, is because I like the idea that I still have the lineup.
Yeah, no, I love it. It's your story is very interesting, but now I have to ask you this, since you're listening to so many different artists, are there a couple of names that you would like to toss out that you've recently listened to that you've been really, like, impressed?
I need to get around to writing a review, though. Probably, I think, by the time this posts, I'll finally get this done. Mario Castro, the Mario Castro Quintet with strings. He has a new album out called Estrella de Mar. It's this Latin jazz, but it's like it's not really, really Latin jazz, because I'm in San Antonio. When it leans that far, it's like it's kind of a little grating to me. But it's like it has just this this right tinge to it. It's really, really playful. It has strings, but it's not overtly serious. Mm-hmm. I've been really enjoying that album lately. Phronesis, love Phronesis' latest live album, Life to Everything, just because that's just an amazing trio work. Just really, really fun stuff. Let's see, who else am I really enjoying lately? The new Jason Moran album, All Rise, Joyful Eulogy for Fats Waller. I can't get a handful of keys out of my head. It's been going on a lot lately. Let's see, there are those. I don't know, other people can come to mind.
Yeah. No, sounds, you know, great suggestions for the listeners of the podcast. And you mentioned Phronesis, and on episode 32, we spoke with the owner of Edition Records that represent Phronesis. So you can also check that episode if you want to maybe find out more interesting acts, always in the jazz realm. And now I have to ask you about the Art of Cool project. Another project that you're involved with. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, the Art Cool project, that is Cicely Mitchell and Al Strong's baby. That's out of Durham, North Carolina. And they've been in the last 2 years, I think, or so, last 2 or 3 years, they've been trying to bring jazz life going on in Durham and in Raleigh, the Research Triangle area of North Carolina. So they would put on small jazz R&B shows in art galleries. That's what they would do in different art galleries, and people really enjoyed those shows, and they sort of grew from there to putting on larger shows with bigger acts and things. Until they put on, they sort of led up to their first music festival this past April. And that was outstanding. Really was. It was like one of the most fulfilling moments I had. It was the most fulfilling moment of my career yet. That was really, really fun. Got to hang out with Christian Scott, who I consider the patron saint of Next Bop. We have one shirt that we made years ago. Still have not made another shirt. We have not had the money to make another shirt. And Christian Scott is just all love on the front of it. So it was really, really fulfilling to find and be able to meet him and his wife Isadora and the rest of the quintet. And Butcher Brown. Butcher Brown was played there. Thundercat played there. I got to hang out with him. Bilal. I ran into Gerald Clayton. Weirdly enough, he had played in San Antonio a few months before. I was at a microbrewery, just sitting at a microbrewery, and they have some fries, and then just Gerald Clayton walks by, hey, what are you doing here? Yeah, very weird moment. And like, but that's the thing where you're like, you're just in Durham, North Carolina, and he's going to that, and Gerald Clayton walks by going to the barbecue spot just down the street. Like, it was really cool seeing that kind of activity going on in that city. So we're trying to do that again. And by the time this posts, we won't know whether or not we made our Kickstarter. Hopefully we will. Really, really think we will. We're tracking, or we're on pace to do that, and we really, really hope we can make this happen. We can only make this happen if we make this Kickstarter, because otherwise this festival will become a concert, and this may not work out exactly. So about a year and a half ago, because they've been building their efforts and everything, and Cicely reached out to me because she liked what was going on with Nextbop, and she wanted to work with us. And so we got to talking about things and about like what's going on in the back end of Nextbop and how it works and you know, who's all running it and everything. And it's been going on, but I knew that I wanted to grow it into something larger to be able to do things. And but it's mostly me writing. A lot of these things are written on my phone. I have a phone where I really, really need physical keys. I've said that needing a smartphone with physical keys in 2014 is the 21st century equivalent of really, really needing a typewriter. Like, I can't use computers. I just won't do it. I can't. It's happening. Like, I need keys. I have to have the tactile form to it. Like, a lot of, there's a rhythm that I fall into writing, on my phone, which, sometimes doesn't happen on a computer. Well, it still happens on the computer, but, like, anyway, I sort of fell into this weird tangent about that. So, I knew that, like, I am a writer, I'm an editor, and I am really, really great at those things. When I dally into putting on shows, I know that I have a connection to artists, but the actual act of logistics of putting on shows, it's, and promoting them, is something that I can do, but it's not something that I know that I can do extremely well the way that I would like to. I know that I want to be able to make something larger than, I wanted to make something that was larger than what was mostly me, or mostly what Nextbop was at the time, what it was capable of doing. And Cicely knew that she could put these shows on, but it needed a larger international scope, and it needed a voice. Another voice to it. So we sort of merged. So Nextbop is sort of the blog face of the Art of Cool project. And in time, we're still working on figuring out who's going to design the website and everything. We're going to sort of redesign both websites so that it's sort of like how the Art of Cool project is the mothership of Nextbop, the scene, it's more apparent that it is the blog face of the Art of Cool project.
Yeah, totally got it. And tell us what are your plans for the future? Can you tell us something that is coming up, some new article of yours, something like that?
I'll be reviewing the Austin City Limits Festival coming up. So if you're in San Antonio or want to read that on the current, we'll see how that works out. But mostly I'm seeing what opportunities are opening up, and we'll all be surprised when we see what happens with me. We'll see what happens. I think it's the most I can say right about now.
Anthony, thank you so much for being on the podcast. And if people would like to reach out to you, what is the quickest way to find you online?
Going to Nextbop, because more often than not, you scroll down enough, you will see the email address, or you'll see Twitter. I am pretty much constantly on Twitter, but just know that if you were trying to send music to me, do not solely send it on Twitter. You should probably send it in an email. That would probably be the best way.
Sounds like a great advice. So nextbop.com. Anthony Dean Harris, thank you so much for being on the Jet Spotlight podcast and telling us about all the great things you are doing. And man, keep it up, really. Keep it up.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. All right, we are back. Anthony, thank you so much for being on the show and for telling us a little bit more about the great things that you're doing, and also for giving advice for musicians in terms of how to approach music writers and what to pitch for a review. Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it. I would like to point you to the latest blog post that had been published yesterday, and it's the first part of a three-part series about how to get gigs. The first part talks about what you should do before you even start looking for gigs. So if you haven't checked it out yet, head over to thejetspotlight.com and just scroll down a bit on the homepage and you will see it there along with this episode. And if you have some suggestions, some advice, some comments, make sure to leave them there because other readers can really benefit from them. So thank you in advance if you do leave your comment, or if you share the article on social media or your website. I really appreciate that. And I really appreciate you being with me today and for giving me the opportunity to providing you with some tips, advice, and most importantly, the great guests of the Jet Spotlight podcast. I'm Yanni Lunga from thejetspotlight.com. Thank you for listening and enjoy the rest of your week. Take care.